Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read from verse 9 to 12 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. As you find in your place, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this passage. Use our pastor again this morning. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit, we ask, so that he could speak to us thy words and help us to be better Christians for being here. And Father, if we're not Christians, if we don't know Christ as our Savior, that we would settle that and get saved before we leave today or in the internet as those that watch. Bless us now, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we'll ask that you turn your cell phones, electronic things, all that stuff off for us now, and give us a few minutes of peace and quiet so we can listen very carefully, if you would. And as always on a Lord's Supper Sunday, we're running a little bit later than we would normally do so. And I often remind you, I have 4 minutes until noon. So to be done at noon, I have to preach a sermon that lasts 4 minutes long. Unfortunately, I didn't bring that one with me. So listen just real carefully, and we'll get out of here as quick as possible, no matter how long it takes me. Now, please listen just a few moments. I am not a fictional fan. I could not tell you the last time I read a fictional book. I'm not interested in things that never happened to people who never existed. Just doesn't do anything for me. But when I was a young man, I loved mystery books. Loved them. And I read them. I could not tell you how many times I read a mystery book of some kind. You know, that tells you a story and you have to kind of weave through all the clues and suggestions and things that go on. And then at the end, whoever it was that was the bad person or whatever the case may be, or whoever it was that did what they did, would be revealed at the end. In the Bible, mystery is mentioned 24 times in the New Testament. Ephesians 1 and verse number 9, would you look at it please? It talks about, and I want you to notice the statement God uses here, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. By the way, if you're like me and one of those heathens who writes in your Bible, if you go to verse 5, the end of the verse, it talks about the pleasure of his will. Verse 9 talks about the mystery of his will. And verse 11 talks about the counsel of his will. Those are great statements to learn and understand about the will of God. But that middle statement in verse 9 is our subject because it talks about the mystery of his will. Now look at me. Mystery in the Bible means something that is known but has yet to be revealed. God's will. There's some things about the will of God for our lives that is known to him and will be revealed to us later. A mystery. If you think about the mystery of the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, then you understand there are parts of God's will. When we talk about the will of God, you understand we're talking about God's plan. The will of God applies, first of all, specifically to each of us. God has a plan for each life. Each person's life, he has a plan designed for them, his will. And the will of God for each of us also fits into God's plan for all of us. That's why it is so important that you do God's will for your life. You say, yeah, you missed God's plan for your life. Yes, and you're also affecting God's will for someone else's life. Your life touches the lives of others. You do God's will, you fulfill His plan that helps others. Our anniversary Sunday is a classic example of that. 33 years ago, Shasta Baptist Church did not exist. God called us to come here. We weren't brought here by a committee. No one asked us to come. Fasted and prayed, and I was in school, finishing Bible college, and the Lord directed us to come to Redding, California. Now, I used to live here as a boy, in a drunkard's home, as a matter of fact. I had no idea I'd come back here one day and pastor a church and start one. I still remember the man I went to rent a house when we first moved here. We had no support. We had not a dime of support. Didn't have any money in the bank either. We went to rent a house, my wife and I and three children at the time, and he was a Christian fellow, a good guy. We filled out the application. He said, oh, you're a pastor. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, what church do you pastor? I said, Shasta Baptist Church. He said, I don't think I know that one. I said, it doesn't exist yet. He said, it's going to start in about 2 months. He goes, okay, pastor, well, let me ask you this question. How are you going to pay your rent? Are you a part of a denominational body and they support you? And I said, no, sir. We're independent Baptists. We're not a part of any denominational bodies. He said, well, do you plan on working a job and doing that? And I said, I've got a job pastoring Shasta Baptist Church that doesn't exist yet. I said, I'll be pretty busy for a few months getting things done, prepared, and ready. He said, pastor, how do you plan on paying your rent? I looked at him. I said, I don't know. I said, honestly, sir, I don't. I'm thinking to myself, this guy's an idiot if he rents me this house. If I was in his shoes, I wouldn't rent him this house. He looks at me and he said, well, you got to have first and last month's rent and security deposit. I said, okay. I said, do you have first and last month's and security deposit? I said, no. He said, could you pay the first month's rent to move in? I said, I think I can come up with that. He said, okay, I'll rent it to you. And I thought to myself, this guy's crazy. You got to be kidding me. By the way, never missed a rent payment. Never was forced to work an outside job. You know, God's amazing. Sometimes I think the Bible says, the times of our ignorance he winked at. When I was in Bible college, guys would go to speak in our chapel service and say, you just trust the Lord and go out and start a church, he'll provide for you. I didn't know they were lying. They went out and raised support to start a church. We never did that. We just came to Reading. Honestly, God winked at my ignorance. But look at me, people. God knew what this would be 33 years later. But it was a mystery 33 years ago. I was just hoping every week there'd be a few bucks in the offering plate to pay for the rent on the building and rent on our house and give us enough food to live on. It was a mystery to us, but it would be known later, the mystery of his will. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment this morning. Like a mystery book that you read, there's some things that are mysterious about the will of God. Now, he knows, God knows, but we don't always know, do we? There's a lot of that just in the shadows. 1 Corinthians talks about we see through a glass darkly. We don't see things as clearly as God does. First of all, we don't have his vantage point. Secondly, this is good information for some people today. We're not God. Okay? He's God. We're his people. So he's the boss. He knows what he's doing. And God knows what he's doing. Now, the mystery of his will as it applies to us is that it is known to God and yet will be revealed to us. In fact, in verse number 9, if you'll just notice the wording again, please, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Well, even in those days, there were some things they came to understand. If you check Jesus' statements when he talked to his disciples about this sort of information, you'll see he made three statements about things. Number one, he told them, he said, some things you're going to understand here and now while I'm with you. He says, you'll come to understand that now. Then later on, he would make this statement. He said, some things you're going to understand later on. He told them, he made a statement one day, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. And the Pharisees were standing there, said, 40-some years it took to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? He said, no, he spoke of his body. Even the disciples didn't understand that Jesus was again foretelling them he would die, but he would rise again 3 days later. And after he rose from the dead, that mystery was lifted. And they go, oh, he was talking about his resurrection. But see, that came later. So Jesus told him, some things you'll understand now, some things you'll understand later. And then a few times Jesus said, you'll understand it in heaven. Some questions are not going to be answered in this life. They're just not. So that's the purpose of the statement of the mystery of his will. Known to God, just not known to us now. I remember as a boy reading those mystery novels, getting about 2/3 of the way into it and fighting the urge to turn to the last chapter to find out how it turned out. And I did it a few times and just got rid of the book because it was no good after that. I already knew what happened then. Scott, I talked to you about the mystery of his will and what you and I need to do today to give God time to work out that part that's mysterious to us but not him. Well, like reading a mystery novel. Number one, you got to trust the author. You got to trust the author. I couldn't even tell you who the authors were of all those mystery books I read. I couldn't tell you. But I know that as I read those books, I thought, now you don't want to jump ahead of them. You just want to give this guy time or this woman time. She's going to let you know what's going on. Don't jump ahead of the author. You stay with the author and follow the story all the way through. I couldn't tell you how many times I read those novels, but I never read the same one the second time. You know why? Because I knew how it turned out. It was no good after that. So I knew this. As I read it, I'd want to go, oh, man, turn to that last chapter. You know it's going to be in there. It's going to tell you, is it this? Is it that? Is this how it turned out? And I keep telling myself, no, no, no. Just follow the author. They'll get you where you need to go. And you'll know when it's time for you to know. Okay, we have the mystery of God's will, ladies and gentlemen. He is the author and finisher of our faith. What we need to do is trust the author, the big the author, the big A-U-T-H-O-R author. That's what we need to do. We need to trust him. So when it's a mystery to me, does God know, ladies and gentlemen? I'm sorry, it was a question that was not really rhetorical. I said, does he know? Thank both you Methodists. I said, does he know? Is there a God in heaven? Does God sit upon the throne of glory? And does God know what he's doing? Is he God, ladies and gentlemen? Is he the all-powerful God? Is he the omniscient God? Does God know what he's doing? All we've got to do is trust the author then. It's a mystery to me. I don't understand things that happen. I don't always figure it out. It doesn't always make sense to me. It doesn't turn the way I think it ought to turn. But I've learned a long time ago, if I'll just trust the author, if I'll just put my confidence that God knows what God is doing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many more principles of scripture do we have to throw down in front of ourselves that we quote so often and we leave out the importance of waiting upon the Lord? Loving God. That's the author principle. Trusting the author. Somewhere through all of this, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere through the shadows of life, somewhere through the dark midnights of our battles and struggles, somewhere through the times where we don't understand what happens or why or where or who or what it's all about, and we cannot possibly even begin to see how it would turn out, there is a God in heaven who knows what he's doing. And the mystery of his will is found out if you'll just trust the author, stay with the author. Is there a mystery to what has happened in your life? Something you're still scratching your head about. Still trying to find answers for. Still trying to make reason with. Still trying to determine in your own mind, well, I don't understand why this happened to me. I don't understand why we had to go through this. I don't understand all of that. And it's a mystery as you look back on something in your life. One thing about living in this city for very long, I not only remember what it was like to start this church, I remember what it was like to live in this town as a boy in a drunkard's home. Well, the drunk stepfather used to come home and beat us as his children. He hated us. My little mama would get drunk every night, get up and go to work every day. They fight with each other constantly. Then on weekends, they do serious drinking and fight. We didn't have a piece of furniture in our house that wasn't broken. I look back on my past, ladies and gentlemen, I use it in my preaching, but every now and then it comes to my mind, and when I think about it, I think, but you know, that's the way it was. It's not how it is. And the way it was for me, ladies and gentlemen, was this. God did not want me to have to go through that. That was the bad choices of people in my life. But now God has taken that in my life, and I've used it so many times now in helping people in their lives as a pastor. So God didn't put it in my past. God just took it from my past. And the mystery of it as a boy, little boy laying there in bed at night, hot tears running down my cheeks, feeling up my little ears, crying as I heard them in there fighting with each other and beating on one another. And he'd come in and get us up in the middle of the night and slap us around. As a little boy, that made no sense to me. It was all a mystery to me. Now there's clarity to it like you cannot believe. Some of you refuse to accept what happened. You either blame God for it, and the stuff people do is not God's fault. That's people. You either blame God for it, or you won't accept the fact that it happened to you, and you can't do a thing about it, because if it happened, it happened. Our Spanish-speaking friends have it right. Es lo que es. It is what it is. And you can't deal with it. You still won't deal with it. You refuse to. Rather than find out, ladies and gentlemen, that later on God did not cause that, but God can certainly make a cause from it that makes sense to you in your life. You got to trust the author. You got to stay with him. Is there some mystery that something that is happening right now in your life? Right now. Today, you brought it with you when you got out of your car and came into church. I just don't see how this could possibly turn out for good, Pastor Johnson. Do you have to? Have you gotten that way? Look at me. Is your faith so shallow and short, you have to see it to believe it? Remember after Christ's resurrection, he appeared to the upper room to the disciples, except one guy who wasn't there, called Doubting Delayed Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. He was delayed. He should have been there the first time Jesus appeared in that upper room, but he wasn't. After the Lord left him that first time after his resurrection, appeared in a closed, locked room, the disciples later on told this guy, Thomas, Jesus was here. He said, I won't believe it. I won't believe it if I don't see him. I don't believe it if I don't put my hands in those nail prints and my hand in that scar on his side from the spear. I won't believe it till I see it. Jesus made one more trip just for Doubting Thomas. They're all together again. Jesus appears. Room's closed. Here comes Jesus. He goes right up to Mr. Thomas. He said, go ahead, Thomas. Touch those hands, son. Only scars that will be in heaven will be there. Touch those hands, Thomas. And seeing, believe, Thomas. And Thomas knelt. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said this great statement, blessed are they who have not seen, yet have believed. See, we think they had it better than us because they saw stuff. Well, in some respects, they did. I would like to have seen Jesus. I would like to have seen him walk on water. I'd like to see him break loaves and fishes and make biscuits and gravy and fried chicken out of that. I mean, that would have been great. See, that's not what he did. Hey, you get your own version. Truth of the matter is, I'd like to have seen that. But see, there's things we didn't see. We'll never see. They did see. But Jesus said we were more blessed than them. If you believe. I don't get all the mystery of the here and now. I'll tell you what, though. I've just learned a long time ago, you trust the author. You trust the one who put out that mystery in your life. He knows what he's doing. Do you really believe that? Mystery of his will also involves with this. You got to stay with the book. That jumping ahead to the last chapter thing, that doesn't really help you with the mystery. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, as amazing as this book is, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, right here, not somewhere, right here this morning, right here, And in my hands right here, this, right here, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As amazing as that book is, and as much as it feeds, nourishes, helps, illuminates, guides, directs, prevents, it strengthens us, there's some things about my life that that book doesn't tell me about. I've searched through there for answers about things in my own, for my own personal life, and it doesn't have Mike Johnson this, Mike Johnson, it's not in there. Now, it's all Scripture. It's all inspired of God, and it's profitable for everything. So there's principle where I can't find print. But what I'm saying simply is this. It's not the parts in the Bible that don't apply to me directly that should cause me as much concern as this. It's the stuff in the Bible I know that it tells me to do. The stuff in the Bible that I know tells me what not to do. That's what I should be concerned about. You say, well, I'm not sure how everything's going to turn out, Pastor Johnson. You know that you're wasting all your time on answers you don't have. I met a man one day, and he was a Mexican gentleman. And I was asking him about his soul and salvation. And he said, well, I'm a part of a religion called the La Rosa Cruces. I said, what is the La Rosa Cruces? He said, it's a religion that's based on that time between Christ being 12 and being 30. I said, but that's not in the Bible. He goes, I know. He said, that's what we believe. What do you believe? That part that's not in the Bible? He goes, yes. I didn't know where he got his information. I mean, what do you know about what happened with Jesus? For some reason, God decided not to tell us about that. Mark Twain was a heathen. He said this. He said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand to bother me. It's the parts of the Bible I do understand that cause me problems. Yeah, that part you already know. Look here. You want to understand the mystery of his will? Here's what you do. That part that you don't, stuff that we don't, what happens to you when you die? Well, we know what the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, if you're saved. We know about the rich man and Lazarus. Two men died same day. One woke up in hell, the other one in heaven. So we know that you go immediately to heaven or to hell when you die. There is no purgatory, no halfway house. You go up or down, that's it. We know, but see, that's what the Bible tells us. But do we really know? Got people running up and down the country talking about how they had died and had an out-of-body experience. They went through a tunnel, and there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And when they got to the end of the tunnel, there was Aunt Mary and Uncle Joe and Jesus standing there saying, you have to go back. That's a nightmare. That's not a dream. That's a nightmare. You get all the way over there, I'm telling you, it would take every legion of angel in heaven to shove me down that tube and get me back over here. I'm not coming back. You understand? Well, don't you love us? Yeah, not that much. I'm sorry. When I'm over, I'm done. I don't want to come back. And nobody else has done it either. It's appointed unto man wants to die after this, the judgment. Say, well, that's what the Bible says. Stay with the book. The part that we know, what it tells us to do and not to do, do that. The mystery that's of his will that's not in that book will be known after you follow what you know the Bible tells you to do. Got a lot of Bible-believing Christians. I just wish we had more Bible-living Christians. Christians who would just take this book and say, you know what, I don't get it all. It doesn't make sense to me. We live in a day and age where everything is subjective now. Truth is subjective. We watched presidents say, well, I didn't believe that, but I evolved. I think he said evolved, wasn't it? I evolved, and now this is my position. Really? We got people with glitches. What you call it? Short-circuited. Yeah, they're all short-circuited. Some of them, the wires don't even touch. And they got this, and they got that. And you think, but you know, your problem is you're all caught up in what people think, say, or do that changes next week. We have the eternal principles of this book. We have Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have a book whose principles do not change. And you get hung up on parts. Well, so my name's not in there. No, but it's your name in the book of life, because this book tells you it is. If you're saved, your name's in the book of life. You get saved, you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. That's it. Stay with the book. Stay with the book. There's mysteries in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. So many times in 36, 7 years of ministry, I get asked questions all the time. On an airplane, flying somewhere. And they say, and it's always interesting to me. I ask a person, what do you do for a living? Oh, I, no. I said, okay. Now, the natural response would be, what do you do for a living? 90% of people never ask. So I don't say anything. But if they ask, I say, well, I'm a pastor, and I've been pastoring a church in Redding, California now for some years and things. Oh, good. Can I ask you a question? And then they start asking me questions. Sometimes they want counseling on an airplane. I don't even know these people. Well, they ask me a question. I say, well, okay, I'll try my best to answer it for you. When they ask me the question, I say, well, here, this is what the Bible teaches. One man, I've told you about him before, one man said, no, I don't want to hear about that. I want to know what you think. I said, it doesn't make a difference what I think. Here's what the Bible says. It aggravated him. Opinions. Oh, my. Opinions. We're watching a presidential race being controlled by about 1,500 people. That's whoever the last 1,500 people were, they asked a question. And that's America. 1,500 people? Amazing. I'm sorry, but no, see, I don't know how it's all going to go. I know this. I know I got to do what the book tells me to do now. See, now that, look at me, that sets my course. That sets my direction. It gives me guidance. It gives me light. It gives me hope. It gives me foundation. It helps my get my feet up off that miry clay and put it upon a rock and establish my going. It puts a new song in my mouth. It helps me now. So if I still have to say, preacher, don't you have things you don't understand? Yes, 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 I don't understand. But there's so much I do know. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know those things. I know him. I know the author. I know some of the book. I don't know it all, but I know some of it, and I'm counting on it. I'm depending on it. I'm trusting the word of God to guide me. Yeah, there's still dark times, but my friend, I got better than a flashlight. There's times you walk through a valley, but I got the compass that shows me the way out, the other end of it. You stay with the book. Number three, these mysteries also are this. You stay with how, stay to see how it turns out. So I got to wait to find out if God's right. No, you don't have to wait for that. You don't have to stand around going, I wonder if God's going to win. No, he wins. Oh, yeah, he wins. Hey, he wins big. Bigger than what's his face. He wins big. Real big, huge big. So big every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We know this. All we got to do is just wait just a little bit longer. Can't be much longer. God, help us. I hope it's not much longer. Pretty soon now. Soon and very soon, like the old Negro spiritual says. Soon and very soon. So all we got to do is see just now. We just got to hang around to the end. We just got to realize that the time is going to come very soon when God's door of grace will unfortunately close for the lost. But when it does, the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. Don't tell me Methodists don't go to heaven. The dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air soon and very soon. You want to stay around long enough to see how this thing's going to turn out. You don't want to quit in the middle. You don't want to get close to the end and give up. This athletic contest down in Rio de Janeiro. Those people out there rowing between the sewer and the garbage. It's fascinating to watch people in these long distance races. They had a bike race the other day. 6 hours and 15 minutes, 150 miles on a bike. Now, first of all, people, that's what God made cars for. You don't need to be out there riding a bike for 6 hours and 15 minutes. You could have got there faster if you'd have gotten a car and drove. But could you imagine going through all of that and getting right down to the finish line and just say, I'm not going to finish, and you can see it right ahead of you? Well, look, friend, look at me. I can see the finish line. All matters of prophecy are fulfilled and completed. Everything is done. The world alignment is all taken care of. There are no more empires up and down. Everything's fine. All the signs of Jesus is coming soon. It's all in order now. We're just in the moments. We're in the minutes. We're in the seconds before the return of Jesus Christ. Trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We break through the blue sea. Jesus, our loved ones, we go back to heaven. We stand at the judgment seat of Christ where we do the answering, not the asking. And then we get to heaven and it's all resolved. Now, you've heard me say this before. You're not going to walk around heaven asking God a bunch of questions. Jesus said, it's either John 11 or 12, Jesus said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. We're not going to go to heaven and walk around heaven and go, okay, August the 14th, 1984. What was that all about? Seriously. Like we give a flip. Do we care? Huh? How come they took my dog when I was little? Maybe they wanted lunch. I don't know. What? My cat got run over. You were blessed. The truth of the matter is, I'm sorry, cat lovers. Forgive me. I got that from Trump. Here's the thing. You have to understand something now. Hey, excuse me. You're going to go to heaven and walk around going, I don't understand what heaven was. Why was it? Really? Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and you're going to gripe about an apartment? Seriously. No. When it's all over and done, everything's resolved. You know the end of the book, right? You know what it says. He wipes all tears from our eyes. All the former things are passed away. I'll see you in heaven. You'll see me in heaven. We'll know each other, but we won't remember anything about what we did. You won't say, oh, I remember that August 7th. You made fun of cats getting run over. What was that all about? You're not going to do that. We'll remember each other. We won't remember anything about each other, what we did. We just will know one another. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, then shall I know, even as also I am known. You'll meet Abraham, Moses, Sarah. You'll meet these people you never met them before, and you'll know who they are without name tags. And it's all over now. Hey? And look here, and look here. And we're that close. You want to stay till see the end of this thing, see, because God will make that work out. One more thing quickly and I finish. Now listen. But that's not just in heaven. In this life, now not every time, and I can't promise you every time, and God doesn't either. There'll be times you'll look back on something in your life and you'll say, oh, so that's what that was all about. I see now, but you'll see here, in this time, what you didn't see there. And that which was dark in your life and difficult, now all of a sudden has purpose to it. And the purpose makes it better. Doesn't make it go away, but it does make it better. Because you want to stay around to see the end now. That's why you stay faithful to God. That's why you stay in church. That's why you stay in your Bible. That's why you stay faithful to one another. That's why you stay faithful in what you do. You give God time, He brings it together. He has a way of doing that. I can't promise you answers to every question. I can't promise you everything will turn out in this life and you go, oh, I get it. I can't promise you that because God doesn't. But I can promise you this. There'll be a lot of questions answered in this life too before there. But not if you quit on Him. Not if you just roll it up and say, that's it. I'm not putting up with this anymore. You back out on God. You just give up your chance to know how the story turns out. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. The mystery of His will.